This is AmericasWebRadio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
Welcome to Medicine on Call. This is Dr. George. I think today we need to have an update on Obamacare, because a lot of things are happening. You know, there's a lot of things in the news that are important, and they need to be discussed, but there's a lot of things happening very quickly that's being overshadowed by all the toxicity out there. I mean, I just want to make a comment about this, the POW, supposed POW that's we did a trade for. Just when you think it couldn't get any crazier, and just when you think it couldn't get any more lawless, it's shocking. Right around Memorial Day, too. I mean, it's just like a slap in the face to everybody who is sacrificing. And I see soldiers every week come back, and they're never the same. And I don't care if it's World War II vet or someone in Afghanistan or Iraq. They're just... They put their bodies on the line. They didn't run. They didn't try to take a shortcut. You know, they did what they had to do. And I don't even know what to say. I mean, I know that you're a vet as well, aren't you, Dave?
You know, the biggest thing that the media is overlooking, I think that it's pretty well been established that he's a deserter. But the biggest thing, in my opinion, that the media is overlooking is two things. One is the people that were killed, the six people that were killed looking for him, which is, to me, is just totally deplorable. And they knew at the time that he had deserted. There wasn't any of this stuff of, you know, he had gone out on patrol and been captured. That's baloney. They knew he had deserted at that point. That's a major aspect. And the other thing is that it hadn't been brought up, but the effect of someone deserting, we talked about this many times yesterday, is the fact that you go in and there's no larger fraternity, sorority, whatever you want to call it, than the military. And part of it is you cover my back, I cover your back. And when somebody walks off, deserts like that, then they're not doing their part of covering your back. And obviously would never be trusted. And this guy, in my opinion, deserves to be court-martialed. And then if we are at war or whatever, you know, when they're using real bullets, I figure that's war. The penalty is very clear. He should be shot. He should be executed for deserting. And now they're coming out. I don't know if you heard this or not, but they're coming out with he may have given information on deployments and stuff like
right.
this. That is treason.
Well, my hearts go out to the family members of the soldiers who were killed in the line of duty trying to help a situation that all they did was do what the right thing was that they thought was. And it's just tragic. And, you know, I see this as a bigger picture here. This is not a one-off. This is a concerted effort at this point, in my opinion, to just take down the United States. The immigration issue is another thing that's happening. It's completely lawless. People are just flooding the border, and the Immigration Service or Border Patrol is literally transporting people, doing the opposite of what their duties are, which is to protect and serve the United States citizens. They're bringing people into the country and just dropping them off. And basically, not only is it, I think, illegal, it's immoral, because there's no catchment for these people. What do? They have no water. They come in dehydrated. They come in really just destitute. And when people are desperate, you know, we see how this works in various countries. They get violent. This is human nature. When you want to eat, you will do anything to do that. And you don't have your government on your back, on your side. They're against you. They're working against us in all aspects of our society at this point. I read a really excellent article about the Common Core curriculum. And the way that it was explained in this article, it's like MK Ultra mind control. So instead of a child being able to logically think, they're being told that they can come to the answer, whatever the answer is, by any means necessary, in any way they come to it, as long as they get it, is okay. But the way they get it is illogical. It's counterintuitive. So they'll put things together that are, I'll make a statement, you know, instead of doing regular vocabulary, it might be a sentence that has a kind of a questionable moral spin to it. But the child is totally, how do you, as a six-year-old, know what morality is or what ethics are? You don't know. So when you start doing these problems, you're confused. You're morally, it's ambiguous. And the answer is, no matter how you come to the answer, it's okay. And the answer can be wrong, but as long as you plotted out how you got there, then it's right. It's completely, it's mind, we won't even go there, but it's just, what kind of people are we creating? That they don't have any kind of moral compass. They don't have a sense of what's right or wrong. It's all about me. And these selfies and this me society. I thought the 90s were bad, but this is a whole other level. Even that kid who shot up and stabbed the people in California was completely out to lunch, but he was a narcissist. He was, you know, it was all about him, how fabulous he was, and how yet he felt unworthy, and he was going to take it on everybody else. This is what's going on. This is like a microcosm of what's happening. It's just these outbursts of really what's been bubbling under the surface. And unless we start really paying attention to this, we're going to be in trouble. And the healthcare system now is on its way out. And, you know, originally I thought when they started this movement of employers dropping their employees into the exchanges, I thought, you know, this is probably pretty ingenious by the government to break the private healthcare system, ruin the employer-employee health system. You know, health insurance paid for by employers. I thought it was totally designed to break that. Now the IRS came up with a rule, which I don't think people know about, that if you are an employer and you're a large employer over 50 and you pay your employees to go into the exchange, so, you know, you're not giving them insurance, but you're helping them pay for their insurance on their own, whether it's private or exchange, that's now illegal. And you will be charged $36,500 per employee if you do that. That's unbelievable.
Is this an Obamacare?
It's IRS. This happened in September. I didn't even know this. So this is an IRS rule. This is law. If they catch you paying, and you know, most employers will have a pot, some sort of monies that they put aside tax-free for their employee to go and get insurance. And it's being supported by the employer, which is an awesome thing. It actually helps the employer-employee relationship. You're giving them a perk. You're giving them some sort of bonus. It's awesome. Not anymore. That's done.
Okay, let me ask. So, okay, you say this is law.
Yeah.
Is it law from Obamacare?
The Obama administration actually, I don't know if they coerced them or talked to them, but this came out under the guise of the Obama administration trying to, I don't know, fix it. Or keep employers from dropping their employees into the exchange. But that doesn't make sense to me because you want people in the exchange so they can pay into it. This is counterintuitive to me. It's like a Common Core medical thing. I don't get it.
I don't, you know.
It doesn't make a lot of sense.
As bad as I hate Obamacare, it was, quote, unquote, passed by Congress, and they're the only people that can do can make laws.
Please. They don't do law anymore. I don't know what they do in there, but they don't make law. And they don't uphold the law either.
No.
And they all should be hung up they should be removed. And they're committing crimes just as much. They're not overseeing anything except going along and getting along. And you don't hear a peep from these guys. But it is election year. They're all about them and now about getting in.
At Feinstein, who is...
Please.
We feel the same way about her, but her at least standing up against Obama on that, he broke the law.
Come on, Dave, you can talk all day. That's not standing up.
Yeah.
This is rhetoric, okay? Let's stop with the Congress cares.
Something.
Unless she's talking about impeachment, she's talking out her butt, okay? Yeah. Let's be frank about it. It's all rhetoric to make yourself look good and try to, you know, not have your butt hung up as well. That doesn't make any sense to me. But in this instance, if employers are going to be, it's not a $100 fine. It's not some little ditzel fine. It's $36,000 per employee, which means no employer will do this now.
No, they can't.
But the flip side of this is they have to cover these people. You know what that means, right? let's map it out for a second. Under this rule, you have to cover, under Obamacare, an employer has to cover their employee with the maximum coverage as per Obamacare guidelines. And you can't give your employee a tax-free subsidy to do it. You have to cover them. And the government says, the IRS says, okay, well, if you have to do it, but the only way you can do it is to raise their salary, and everybody pays more taxes. So there's no freebie. So the employee now gets coverage for their health care in their salary, which now becomes tax, you know, on the tax roll for payroll tax, Medicare, Medicaid. It's a total scam. So you tell me how anybody who's a working person in this country is going to actually benefit from Obamacare. They're not.
How can a business survive?
They're not. So talk about screwing up the economy. This whole thing is just, and I mean, even in the worst instance, if this is just complete, just, we don't know what the hell we're doing. We're just, you know, sticking it up, throwing it up a wall and see if it sticks. There has to be somebody who's who knows economics who's saying you can't do this because if you do, you're going to not, people will be fired summarily. They will downsize. I mean, maybe this was an avenue before, a trick that employers could use to keep their people and keep their business open. That trick is now gone. Well, outrageous, isn't it?
You know, it's got to come to a head and soon.
It is, but it's costing people their lives. I read an article yesterday about a woman who's got cancer who signed up for Obamacare, but because there are no doctors 400 miles from where she is, she doesn't have access to cancer care. That's rationing. And it's because not because the doctors didn't want to join on this score. It was because the insurance company, as they've done all across the country, limited the roles of doctors, limited the enrollment of doctors. So they lowered their, what do you want to call, their, gosh, I'm throwing a blank on the name, but the amount of doctors that are in their system, they lowered the number because they knew if they covered, they had as many doctors in availability, they would lose money because people would actually go to the doctor. Well, you can say that you're following the Obamacare mandates by covering everybody, but if they can't go to see anybody, then you by definition have collected a premium and you don't have to pay out. On that note, let's take a break. You're listening to Medicine on Call.
Spring is in the air, literally. So follow Sniffles to Atlanta Center for breathing easy. Weeds, spores, grass, pollen. Airborne allergen levels are through the roof, putting your allergies into overdrive. It's time to followsniffles.com.
Follow me and breathe easy.
End your annual ritual of taking medication to alleviate facial pressure, facial pain, congestion, and headaches by treating the problem, not the symptom. Balloon sinuplasty just could be the cure you're looking for. This proven in-office procedure can have you breathing easy, back to work the next day. Followsniffles.com.
Follow me and breathe easy.
Your severe sinus and nasal symptoms gone once and for all. Get lasting relief, a quick recovery, and start breathing easy again. Call us at 404-591-9100. That's 404-591-9100.
Follow me and breathe easy.
Followsniffles.com.
Did you miss a show that you really wanted to hear? All of our programs are available for download on AmericasWebRadio.com and on iTunes. You can listen to your favorite programs on AmericasWebRadio.com anytime you like.
This is Dr. Elena George with your health tip of the day. Did you know that allergy season in Georgia is year-round? Beginning in July through November, ragweed is the predominant pollen. But February through May, tree pollen causes allergy symptoms. Grass pollen occurs from mid-May through the beginning of July. If you suffer from daily nasal congestion, sneezing, runny nose, headache, ear clogging, or popping, or a chronic cough, these symptoms may be due to allergy and not infection. You should also think of allergies if there is no fever, chills, or colored mucus. Treatment should include nasal salt water sprays over the counter or antihistamines that do not cause drowsiness. If you have persistent headaches, a decrease in your sense of smell, or nosebleeds, you should see an ear, nose, and throat physician. Please join me on Wednesdays at 9 a.m. for Medicine on Call. This is Dr. Elena George.
This is AmericasWebRadio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
Welcome back to Medicine on Call. You know, this is such a... It's so many moving parts. You know, in the break we were talking about distract and divide and just confuse, demoralize. This is a... We're living in Alinsky land. And you made a comment about the cap and trade. I forgot all about that. So the 30% reduction in carbon emissions were, you know, that was, they've been dragging that thing out tooth and nail, but this took that totally off the radar while they moved ahead with it. And the VA scandal, which, I mean, let's talk about that for a second, because I've watched some shows where people are saying that the VA is a preview of what Obamacare is going to become, because it actually is single payer and it's government based health care. And that's what the soldiers have been getting since the VA has been created, I would think. And, you know, I think there's a very good argument for that. I've seen a lot of soldiers in the course of my career, and from the time that they were enlisted to the time that they were, you know, veterans and in the system, I've seen a real absolute disconnect in terms of healthcare delivery compared to the private sector. And those that have TRICARE and are able to go out, they leave in droves. They do not want to be in the VA system. And those that stay in it are really just warehoused. They're not really treated. So, for example, I've seen soldiers who've had a ruptured eardrum from an explosion. It was never repaired. So we're seeing people coming in 15, 20 years later with a hole in their eardrum, dizziness, all the things that go on when you don't treat effectively and in a timely way a ruptured eardrum. Ringing, can't hear, headaches, dizziness. And they were told, you know, it's not important, or basically just ignored it like it didn't exist. I mean, if they're going to do that for small things that are easy to correct, what do they do for things like cancer? Agent Orange is a perfect example where they knew that that was a carcinogenic a chemical. Everybody who inhaled it had it go through their skin. That means people who flew, people on the ground, people who stocked it, everybody who got associated with that is now on the hook for some sort of disease, whether it's a cancer. And I've seen head and neck cancers, throat cancers, lung cancer, kidney, you know, bladder, you name it. This is all from what the military has exposed people to. And it took a long time for them to really pay attention to them. Now they can actually claim for it. But this is now how many years later? Huh. So many people have been lost and never got a chance to be treated. This is what happens. And now we have remember the Gulf syndrome that they said never existed? And then PTSD, which didn't exist forever. So all of these diseases and all of these outcomes from doing your job, because it was a cost, they didn't exist, or they got warehoused, or it didn't matter, or they got put to the back of the line. What do you think is going to happen to the rest of us when the insurance companies, they're hanging on by a thread right now, but eventually they'll be out of business and they'll be working for the government because they won't be able to afford to stay open as a private entity. They'll just be kind of like an AARP or a Medicare Advantage kind of relationship, where they're the entity that basically provides the care the government says they're supposed to provide for no cost. That's why they're all getting their payoff now. So just like, I mean, it's kind of like a non sequitur, but not really, like Solyndra, like all these people who got these bailouts and took the money and ran. Well, I think we're in the middle of the insurance companies taking the money and running right now. So they're making it seem like this is a system that's going to work, that it's viable. It's dead on arrival, really. We're just resuscitating it right now until... I don't know, the election's over maybe, or we get into another administration, and then bam, we're all going to figure out really quickly that it's bankrupt, that it's sucking money like a vacuum out of your pocket, whether you work. And the worst case scenario for me is that, to me, is that this is becoming no longer an upwardly mobile society. It's becoming a grid. And if you're outside of it at the beginning, let's say you're a young person, you just got out of college and you take this subsidy, potentially you'll never be a member of society because you'll never be able to pay it back. So if you can't own property because you owe the government for Medicare, Medicaid subsidies, you owe for your education loan, I mean, you're on the hook for debt before you even get a job. How do you get out of it? And that clock is ticking, and that those loans are ticking, and the rate of inflation is going out of the, you know, everything is getting more expensive. How do you ever pay this back?
They don't want you to, because then they have you.
Debt slave. Mm-hmm. You become a debt slave. It's already happened to our country, but they're getting you from the cradle to the grave, where you always owe the government. And for the seniors, I'm really not really sure how that reverse mortgage thing works, but it seems to me that you might get money up front, but your house belongs to the government or whomever you sell it to. You can't give it to your children because you no longer own it. So yeah, you get to stay in it, but when you pass, that's it. And now the mortgage thing, this another thing that came out. Whoever takes a mortgage, the government mortgage program, now the NSA or somebody's going to take your information, your social security number, more personal information from you for a database. I mean, it's just, wow.
You know, the government. And you wonder who's screening all this information and who's making the judgment call on this or that or whatever. It's like the death panels. We know they're there. Who are these people that would stoop so low as to do this? And is it just strictly the check? It's like, you know, like you said with Susan Rice and Obama and whoever else was involved in this great decision about this, the release. They can't deny. Here's the guy that has the top secret clearance of all people in the United States. And he doesn't know that this guy's a deserter, and he stands up there and call. And it's just like, it's everything. It's everything. Medical, economic, military, what they've done to the military. You know, it scares me to death thinking of leaving 9,800 people in Afghanistan. Either we're in or we're out, but you don't leave a small number of non-combatants.
The sitting ducks, technically.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, we're seeing that in Iraq where the people are getting killed again. I mean, that's ramped up to, you know, it's still civil war, if nothing else going on there. Genocide. It's just, no matter what we're saying that we're doing, you have to look at the rhetoric versus the reality. And it doesn't jibe. None of it does.
Let me ask you something. I made a comment the other day, and I haven't gotten anybody to say differently. But every time Obama has gotten up and ranted and raved and I'm going to get to the bottom of this, I'm going to do that, I can't think of a time that he hadn't interjected himself and yelled and screamed about what was going to happen, that it hadn't turned out to be a total lie.
I don't think I can think of anything that I can't really refute that off the top of my head. The VA, the Benghazi situation, nothing's happened. VA situations, nothing happened.
What's the old saying? The best defense is a good offense. So he comes out, you know, yelling and screaming about what he's going to do, and he does nothing.
Congress
does nothing. Nobody does anything.
You know, we need to take responsibility as citizens in the country as well. If we want someone to lie to us, we like it. This is what they're going to do. Nobody's holding anybody accountable. Maybe there is an uproar, but because the media doesn't cover it, you really don't know. It's kind of hard to say. I don't think if you ask the average person on the street, I don't care who they are, I don't think they're going to say the country's doing well or they're happy with the direction.
You know, I'll talk to you after the show, but There is a little bit of interesting information that the VA thing has been going on. This is not new. It's been going on since World War II, I guess. Maybe before. I don't know. But one of the mainstream media has now decided that they're changing horses, as a matter of fact. They have assigned a producer to a situation regarding the VA, and it's very interesting. That would be very interesting. In fact, it blew my mind when I was contacted about what was going on. And
I'm going to withhold my judgment until something actually happens. People talk a lot, but they don't do anything. I mean, the fact that Congress can, nobody in Congress except, I think, Ted Cruz maybe, and that's pretty much, I mean, even Saxby Chambliss was on TV last night, and he said he's on the Intelligence Committee. He didn't know this guy's record. He claims to not know what was going on, whether he was a deserter or not, and all of the, you know, everything that went into making this decision about trading these Taliban people for this soldier. He didn't know anything. Why are you on the Intelligence Committee? I know more than you do listening to TV. I mean, it's news to you. Then you should resign. You should be recalled if you don't know stuff. This is my problem with the whole Congress. Nobody knows anything. Yet laws are being broken 24/7. Nobody follows any law up there. I mean, the fact that they can vote themselves raises, vote that they can do insider trading and it's legal for them. Well, they're going after Phil Mickelson, but they can do it. They don't have to follow Obamacare. Why should we listen to you? You're above the law just as much as the president. So for you to whine about what he's doing while you're doing the same thing, and by definition, by default, because you don't stop it, you're complicit. This is reality. I mean, if you don't fight these things and you say somebody else is going to handle it, and I'm just going to keep my head down, stay out of the fray, you're just as guilty as the rest of the people committing these things. They only go as far as we let them go, in my opinion. And the fact that we just sit back and let someone else take the heat, it's not good enough anymore. On that note, let's take a break. You're listening to Medicine on Call.
This is Dr. Elena George with your health tip of the day. Did you know that chronic nasal congestion, a decreased sense of smell, and asthma can be signs of allergies? Allergies are caused when the body is exposed to things you breathe in or eat that the body does not like. The body's immune system reacts and attacks it, what it perceives to be the enemy, even if it causes no harm, like pet dander or dust. This leads to swelling. In the nose, this causes congestion. In the bowel, it causes stomach bloating and diarrhea. In the lung, it causes shortness of breath and wheezing. And in the skin, it causes hives and itching. The first line of defense against allergy is avoidance. Dustproofing, washing pets, and keeping them out of the bedroom can help with environmental causes. For food allergies, keeping a diary of things eaten and reaction to them is helpful. Allergy testing is less time-consuming and is a safe and effective way to identify allergies. For a complete evaluation, you should see your allergy specialist.
With all the back and forth in today's politics, it seems as though the Constitution gets lost in the mix. If you want to brush up on your Constitution, then join Michael Conley every Wednesday from 4 to 5 p.m. for the show Our Constitution on AmericasWebRadio.com.
Spring is in the air, literally. So follow Sniffles to Atlanta Center for breathing easy. Weeds, spores, grass, pollen. Airborne allergen levels are through the roof, putting your allergies into overdrive. It's time to followsniffles.com.
Follow me and breathe easy.
End your annual ritual of taking medication to alleviate facial pressure, facial pain, congestion, and headaches by treating the problem, not the symptom. Balloon sinuplasty just could be the cure you're looking for. This proven in-office procedure can have you breathing easy, back to work the next day. Followsniffles.com.
Follow me and breathe easy.
Your severe sinus and nasal symptoms gone once and for all. Get lasting relief, a quick recovery, and start breathing easy again. Call us at 404-591-9100. That's 404-591-9100.
Follow me and breathe easy.
FollowSniffles.com.
This is AmericasWebRadio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
Welcome back to Medicine on Call. We're having a little bit of an out-of-the-box conversation today. I wanted to bring what you said about the VA back to private medicine. You know, and I said before, I think the VA is a microcosm of what's happening and a preview. Let's talk about the system, the nuts and bolts for a second. The VA system has a ton of foreign graduate, foreign-trained doctors within it. Maybe because we didn't have enough, you know, American-trained doctors. They wanted to go private. They didn't want to go into the, you know, socialized medical system. Let's face it. That's probably what started it. But it's a whole system where if you have a doctor that is here on a visa or on a short leash because they have to toe the line because they need their job, they'll do a lot of head turning. They'll do a lot of, I'll just play by the rules because I don't want to rock the boat kind of medicine. That's what they're trying to do to private physicians. That's what maintenance of certification is. That's what peer review is. That's what all these regulations and rules from HHS and Medicare guidelines and, you know, fraud and abuse and all these things that they come up with. And I get an email from Medicare every day on new rules and regulations. I mean, it's thousands of pages. You cannot keep up with it. That's exactly why most doctors cannot take Medicare anymore. It's not because we don't love our patients. It's not about that. It's because you can't, you will run afoul of a law, a rule, a regulation, unbeknownst to you, and they're going to come for you. And they've made it open season on doctors who care about their patients, who want to do the right thing, who need to order tests because it's the right thing to do, or take them to surgery, or whatever the medical necessity or need is. They're going to advocate for their patients. That's a doctor that's persona non grata in a system like this. And the VA is, it is the preview. If you're threatening someone with a visa, you know, getting returned to their country or getting fired from their job because they rock the boat, because they actually wanted to advocate for their VA patient, and they shut up. That's how this thing got started. And you reward people who are in power, the people who are the administrators. They're the ones that are making the rules and keeping it, all the dirt, you know, swept under the rug, because they have to make the numbers look good. This is what happens when you run a system based on algorithms and numbers and quotas and, you know, best practices. It's not about the individual. It's about what it looks like on paper. And all you need is some person without a conscience, without a soul, who, a company person, to just make the numbers look good so they can, you know, get their shiny star while everybody else gets screwed. And those who are rocking the boat get removed, get demoted, get demoralized. That's what happens in the system. Like, that's how the VA got to this point. And you have a captive audience of people who, basically, soldiers don't whine. You know, we're soldiers. We do what we have to do. We'll suck it up. We won't complain. We'll wait our turn. That's what they do. They took advantage of the goodness in people. And that's what the system does. It takes advantage of the people who are individuals, law-abiding, people who respect other people. They're considered to be weak in a system like this. And if you don't speak up, then you'll be stomped on. You'll be trampled. You cannot win in a system like this. So even the people who think that I'll just go along, play the game, I'll be rewarded for it, whether you're a TSA agent, whether you're a teacher in this core curriculum nonsense, whether you're a doctor in the Obamacare grid, and you just go along and you pull that plug, give them a little bit more morphine, you're not helping yourself. You're next. That's what happens. The system only gets more mercenary. It only gets more cold. It only gets more ghoulish as you let it go, because there's only one winner in this, and it's not you. It's not the individual. It's not the family member. It's not your grandmother. It's not your father. It's not your friend. It's a certain number of people that they've decided are going to be winners, and that's people with money, people with power, and people with influence who can keep the system running. And if that's an administrator for a hospital who's going to, and there's an example in New York where they closed There's a hospital in Brooklyn that they close all of the basic functions of a hospital. So it's only a clinic now because the hospital decided I can make more money by just keeping everything as an outpatient clinic as opposed to having inpatient or ICUs. That's not a hospital, yet they're still called one. I mean, this is about money at this point. Who stands to gain? Who can be the last man standing? And they're not concerned about healthcare. It's all window dressing. While they tell you they care, and if you speak up, they're going to try to shut you up by calling you names. You have to keep speaking up. You have to get in their face. These are a bunch of bullies. Everything they say that they're trying to stop is what they're doing. That's the tragedy. It's not about healthcare. It's about restriction of healthcare. It's not about keeping the costs down. It's about getting every dime that they can suck out of your paycheck from you. And if they can't get it from your paycheck, they're going to get it from your savings. It's not about educating you so you go to college. Ask the kids who've come out, can't get a job, and are on the hook for hundreds of thousands of dollars in loans. And what did they learn in college? Medical school is nothing. For example, medical school is nothing like it was 10 or 15 years ago. A lot of outsourcing, a lot of foreign graduates who now have a pipeline into our medical system. So you go to a school in Caribbean, that's a really big pot of students all of a sudden. They get direct admission into our residency programs. There are seats available for them. There are quotas available for foreign graduates now. They don't learn the same way that we do. They don't learn the same things that we do. They don't have the same resources that we have. And I'll say it and mean it, because I've worked with these guys. The fact that they can carve out spaces, and it's all about money for the medical school, because they get paid for every student that they allow in. It's a pipeline now. And these guys are coming in, they don't know very much. They don't do anatomy the same way. Some of them still dissect in anatomy, a cadaver. A lot of it's virtual now. So you look at you do it online. Virtual dissection, that's fun. I mean, would you really want a doctor who's never touched a body, a human being, a surgeon who's not had the experience of doing surgeries? I did 1,000 before I graduated residency. These guys can't stand on their own. They need training wheels when they come out. What kind of doctors are we creating? I've seen, internists or, family practice people in the hospital have to look up, if you have a disease or whatever, you have to look up the dosage in a cheap, iPad. Come on, you don't know. These are things that you know. These are certain bases of knowledge that you know, just like a student. There's certain things you have to know when you graduate. How to write a sentence is one really big one. Some of the literature that everybody needs to have a core that makes us a society, they don't know that. It's broken. It's being broken systematically for a reason. Right now, it's obvious, but they're trying to make people bait each other, hate each other. You're racist if you bring a question up. They're closing down charter schools because those are really an avenue where people can actually learn. And once people, and it is the ultimate racism, in my opinion, to keep someone who's financially, challenged from being able to go to the best schools that their kid can go, can send them to. And they're being relegated to these sinkholes. And it's the people who say they love them, or they're doing it. They're doing it in New York. They try to do it in Louisiana. These are liberals, supposed progressives, who think everybody's racist and they're trying to make everybody equal, that are doing the opposite. They're dooming people to never entering society and then trying to make them think that they're helping them and that if they want it more, and people who are saying that this is wrong, they're the racist. I mean, it's mind control, 101. It's just crazy.
We were discussing this on another program too, that we as sheep, parents or whatever, when I was growing up, I played baseball night and day and every other time. And as I mentioned last night on the show, nobody was going to take second base from me. If I had to stay up 24 hours and, I was going to be the best, and I wasn't the best hitter, but nobody could beat me defensively on second base. And it was competition. And, not even 18 years, 10, 12 years later, they had taken competition out of it and said, well, everybody has to play at least two innings a game, you know. And they've taken all competition out of it. That's what Common Core is. They've taken competition out of a spelling bee, or if you can't do your math, you know, then you'll fall behind. I was mortified, absolutely mortified, when I was in the second level reading group until I could climb back into the first level reading group. I was mortified to be in the second part of the trumpet section, mm-hmm. until I could get back into the first section. This is competition. You beat out how many other people to become the best ENT in your class. That's what, that's what the progressives have done. They've taken the competition out of everything and said everybody's equal. Well, we're not all equal.
No, we're not all the same. And no. It's not about equality, but we're not the same. But the sad part is that they lord this over everybody. But they're more equal than the rest of us. That's the problem. So you have all these academics who've never done anything, never practiced medicine, never went into battle, never did anything, or sitting in their round tables making up stuff and deciding what's good for everybody, and they have no clue. And, you know, what's it, if you can't do, you teach. I mean, I've heard that statement. I think teachers are really important, so I don't agree with that. But I don't like the fact that you're in this academic setting.
I think teachers, I agree with you. Teachers were
I wouldn't be here without
important.
Mine, so.
But, you know, they're teaching just like they're just, oh, you got me started. It's just like our military in Afghanistan now going out on patrol with the Afghans. They can carry their weapons. They just can't carry bullets. They can't carry their magazines with them. And the teacher, you know, the teachers go into a classroom, and what I would have gotten spanked for when I was in school, well, David has a problem. He should go talk to the counselor. And, you know, the teachers are going into their classrooms with not one hand tied behind them, but two hands.
Two.
They can't teach. They can't do what they've...
You know, you bring up a great point. I had a long conversation with one of my patients who happens to be a teacher. I really wanted to understand what it's like to be a teacher. My mother was a teacher, and she left the profession at the time when all the changes were coming. She had PTSD by the time she left the school system. But it's not the same now. I think when we come back after the break, I want to just give you an insight from what the teacher told me, because it was eye-opening. On that note, let's take a break. You're listening to Medicine on Call.
Spring is in the air, literally. So follow Sniffles to Atlanta Center for breathing easy. Weeds, spores, grass, pollen. Airborne allergen levels are through the roof, putting your allergies into overdrive. It's time to follow sniffles.com.
Follow me and breathe easy.
End your annual ritual of taking medication to alleviate facial pressure, facial pain, congestion, and headaches by treating the problem, not the symptom. Balloon sinuplasty just could be the cure you're looking for. This proven in-office procedure can have you breathing easy, back to work the next day. Follow sniffles.com.
Follow me and breathe easy.
Your severe sinus and nasal symptoms gone once and for all. Get lasting relief, a quick recovery, and start breathing easy again. Call us at 404-591-9100. That's 404-591-9100.
Follow me and breathe easy.
Follow sniffles.com.
Did you miss a show that you really wanted to hear? All of our programs are available for download on AmericasWebRadio.com and on iTunes. You can listen to your favorite programs on AmericasWebRadio.com anytime you like.
This is Dr. Elena George with your health tip of the day. Did you know that eating too little and skipping meals can actually cause you to gain weight? When you do not take enough calories in, your body can actually stop you from losing weight. Your body works best when it is adequately fueled. If you fail to eat enough, your metabolism will slow down and your body will become stressed and actually hold on to fat. This will lead to muscle loss instead of fat. Exercise and lightweight training will increase endurance and muscle mass and will boost both your metabolism and your sense of well-being. Eat three well-rounded meals a day containing a lean protein, fiber, and a complex carbohydrate, such as a whole grain, with two snacks, such as fruits or nuts. These will promote healthy weight loss that is long-term. Prior to starting an exercise program, remember to see your doctor if you have any medical problems. Please join me on Wednesdays at 9 a.m. for Medicine on Call. This is Dr. Elena George.
This is AmericasWebRadio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
Welcome back to Medicine on Call. Today we're doing a survey of the common points of various parts of our society that are, in my opinion, are being decimated by centralization, by centralized control, and by a setup where the people on the front line, the people who are doing the work, the people who are trained and actually who should be making the decisions are being controlled by administrators and by people who are working against them. While they, on one level, while they're telling them that they're working for them on another, it's just an amazing hypocrisy and contradiction. So this conversation I had with a teacher about Common Core, she teaches, I think it's first grade, and she talked about how she loved her job and how you'd see, you know, these children come in, they're just so excited to be there. They're all little individuals. You can just see their potential. And she said that there are some children, and I'm sure there are, that don't learn the same way, that they're visual. I think they need to role play or act out. It's just different the way they learn. They're still intelligent children, but it's not going to be sitting in front of a desk. They need to move around. So she was told by her administrator that you need to, you know, get in line and do the right thing, or basically you won't have a job. So she had to basically be in a position where she squashed their creativity. You know, she worked outside of the system, I'm not even going to say, but she still worked the way she needed to do, and the kids still got something. But she was a teacher who was willing to put her job on the line, go the extra mile, exhausted emotionally, physically by the time she got home, because you're trying to hide what you're trying to do while you're trying to help this child. What kind of system is that? I mean, I don't think this is a learning environment anymore. Either you're doing drills for some sort of, you know, shoot 'em up. You've got guards, and some of them are armed in some of these schools. You got metal detectors. That's like going into a war zone. It's not an environment where you want to learn. And anybody like that child, like those children who are individuals, who actually should be, this is the time that you coddle them. This is the time that you find out what their gifts are, so you emphasize them. These kids are drugged out of their minds. They've got ADD. They need to shut up, put them in the back room. If they have a question, they're asking too many questions. You know, you can't even hold someone's hand anymore. That's sexual assault. You got kids being removed from first and second grade because why didn't one kid kiss the kid or held their hand? It's something really stupid. So now you've got a kid who's got a record. What does that do to them psychologically? Once you damage that psyche at that age, I'm not sure kids recover. And while I'm not sure that they recover from being drugged out of their mind, when these drugs really, a lot of them have never really been tested on children, these adult drugs. I told you the story ages ago that I was in a clinic, an ENT clinic, and one child came in with her grandparents who had been removed from her mom because the mother got imprisoned. But this child was on every psych med. I'm talking about schizophrenia medication, big gun stuff. And the grandparents took it upon themselves to take her off, clean out her medication diet, and they got their granddaughter back instead of a zombie. Well, that's a grandparent who's engaged, but what happens when you have a parent who's working or not engaged? So you just have a kid who's just left to the tender mercies of a system who just wants you to shut up, go along, get along, you know, and just be a drone. And you're right, this is not about competition anymore. The only thing that kids are allowed to compete in is sports. It's not academic anymore. You can't have a valedictorian in some schools. You can't, they had an honor dinner for certain, there's some school where they had an honor dinner for kids.
Yeah, I heard that.
They had to stop that, and everybody has to be, come on. It's like everybody getting a present and when you're going to a birthday party. This is the system that we're creating. It's a bunch of whiners and a bunch of, I don't know, people less who feel like they're less than, yet on the other side, they have to be the center of attention. It's really just, It's weird.
You know, I got to throw something out that was sort of said. Like, I've never seen this. I mean, I've seen it now, but when I was in school. But, yes, every school in, I can't address other counties, but I know in Fulton County, every school has two policemen. They're not just guards. They are policemen. They are sworn officers of the law. And so everybody thinks, oh, well, my kids are safe because they've got two cops there that are protecting the school from invasion by some wacko or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's not 100% right. The cops that are on duty are also protecting the teachers from students that are crazier than, you know, you can imagine. So the cops actually perform two sides of the coin. I know a situation that a kid, not dumb, in fact, he's gaming the system every place that he can, but he's huge. Happens to be, you know, 6 foot two or three. Actually bigger than the woman cop, as a matter of fact. But he's gaming the system. He can't get out of middle school, except this year he turned 16, and he shouldn't be in middle school at this point anyway.
Wow.
But his parents raise Cain about everything. It's not that he's not smart. He just doesn't want to do it. And so he disrupts the classes. He will march into the principal's office, you know, just on his own goodwill. And so the cop, like I said, is not only protecting people from coming into the school, but they're also protecting the principal and other teachers that are in the school from kids like this. And God knows how long he's been on drugs. And I don't mean...
No, you mean like ADD drugs. Sure. I mean, and those have been shown. I mean, everybody, every single instance of these mass shootings, every child that I've read about has been on some sort of antidepressant, any anxiety medication. Nobody's asking the question, what's the connection between the drug and the behavior? They just negate that, like it doesn't exist.
It's the gun.
Okay. It's the medication.
Sure.
I mean, by the time they talk about the side effects on these wonderful commercials with a little music in the background, suicidal thoughts, further depression, it changes your brain chemistry in a system that's in flux. You're talking about a teen, hormones, neurotransmitters, crazy. And you're adding something that's an unknown to this mix. And multiple medications, it's never just one. It's usually like two or three that they're on. And if they worked, then we wouldn't be seeing this, would we?
You know, we weren't seeing a lot of this when we had a thing called a paddle, which was an amazing tool. And, you know, and you go one step beyond the prescription drugs, kids in elementary school and on up are getting into hard drugs.
True. Hey, most of them from their parents, too.
Yeah.
You know, just raiding their medicine cabinets. We all need to take responsibility. I think the medical profession has gone way overboard in prescribing medications just because they exist. You know, there's something called Lovaza, which is it's like a fish oil, but it's pharmaceutical-based. Why would anybody waste money on prescribing that to somebody when you can tell them to get fish oil over the counter for a fraction? I'm seeing laundry lists of medication that people are on. I don't even know how they even have time to go through their day because they're taking something throughout every minute of the day. Something they've got to pop into their mouth. It's doctors. We control the prescriptions. If we don't write them, they won't get them. So we need to actually take responsibility. I think the medical profession has a responsibility now because we're losing ground 24/7, whether it's being encroached on by nurse practitioners, physician assistants, the government. It's time for doctors to stand up and do what we're supposed to do, which is to be the patient advocate, to be physicians, to be the quarterback in the situation. If I don't write that prescription for the narcotic or the anti-anxiety medication, I say, I'm going to send you to a colleague so you can talk about this, work it out. It's no easy fix. I'm not going to try to medicate something, and I'm not going to treat for a psychological problem if it's not in my field. I don't want to do. I didn't train to treat depression, anxiety, you know, OCD. I didn't do that.
And then the other side of the coin is the patient that says, well, I'm never going back to Elena, George again
and,
because she didn't give me a prescription
and
for
bye.
My-
yes, you know, see you. I mean, I'm the mindset now. I want to help people who want to work with me. And if doctors had that attitude instead of being desperate, if I don't get a patient, I won't stay open, we wouldn't be in this situation. We wouldn't have taken the insurance company's crumbs. We would have stood up for ourselves before all of this encroachment on with nurse, I'm sorry, with providers and extenders who are now doing medical procedures, who are now acting like physicians without as much training. And I don't think they're really happy about it either, to tell you the truth. I wouldn't want to be in a situation where I didn't fully understand it or know everything that could happen if I do X. I need to understand what the ramifications of X are, not just because it's in a book and it's on a list. And if it's dry, wet it. If it's wet, dry it. If it's a pimple, put them on penicillin. I don't want to try practice medicine like that. That's a problem. But until we decide to recarve out our niche, and doctors are in the process of doing that, this is now a position, a tipping point. And I know we got to go soon, but I want to make this one statement. Doctors now have to carve out their turf and be vigilant about protecting it. And patients who understand and are willing to work with us will come along. And those who want to stay in the Obamacare wasteland, have at it. It's a law. It exists. Go for it. Good luck to you. But we need an alternative. And people need to know that there's an alternative that's cheaper, that's better, that's more cost efficient, that's got all of the newest technologies, and with doctors who actually give a damn. Once you realize that you're worthy and you decide to make that change, by definition, the whole medical system, the whole healthcare system will go back towards where we all want it to be. But we all have to make the move. I'm doing it. AAPS Online, online.org is doing it. Doctors for Patient Care, physicians that have come on my show, they're there. Why would you want to go into an ER where you're paying thousands of dollars, but you can go see a doctor and pay $60 a month, see them 25 times? I mean, come on. So take responsibility, people. I'm doing it. I expect my patients who come to see me to join with me. And I think we can make a better world, basically, if we just start acting the part. On that note, thank you for listening to Medicine on Call.
This is AmericasWebRadio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.